Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Good morning and welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Half Hour Message. This morning's message, folks, is a Thanksgiving message to show thankfulness for all that the Lord has done. We should be thankful every day. And I know sometimes the things that weigh us down, our anxieties, our depressions, our stresses, they help us forget how good God has been to us and what it means to be thankful. I'll try to go through some verses today and be able to do that. Hopefully I can do the verses and just leave it at that, and you'll be able to pick up from it. So this morning we're going to start out with 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We're going to go to Ephesians 5:20. Nehemiah 11:17, A. I say A because that's the first half of that verse. 2 Corinthians 4:15 and 9:11 of 2 Corinthians, and 1 Peter 4:11 through 16. Sounds like a lot, folks, but we'll get through it. We always do. And I have some prayer requests that I'll do, but before I do that, I want to play a song as I always do. So if we can, let me go there. I'll get the song going. I Need Thee Every Hour. That's our song this morning. It'll take a minute and a half. That'll give everybody a chance to get here. It'll also give you a chance to find your place, because we do have to have you on the right chapter. Thank you for being here. Amen. And we do need the Lord, folks. I know sometimes we think we can do things on our own, and we think that it's no big deal. It's just the way it is. But I got news for you, folks. God's in total control. He doesn't play around. It's not a game to him. It's not a joke to him. God knows exactly what he's doing when he's doing it. And there's going to come a time you'll be happy that God was there for you. Okay? You're going to wake up one day and realize just how many things God has done and how blessed you really are. And how he's taken care of you, even in those times when you thought there was no one there for you. God's always there. Jesus is always by your side. He said he would send the Holy Spirit as a comforter, and he has. And I see it, and I know it. I see it all around me. There are things that I am so thankful for. Yet, yes, the world does creep in, and Satan says to me, well, you don't have this or you don't have that. But, you know, I look around, and I say, you know what? God's provided for me every bit of the way. I can't thank him enough for all the things he's done for me. I could never... In all of my days, in my life, I could never say thank you enough. But thank you, Lord, for being my Savior. Folks, we have a prayer request this morning, a bunch of them. And I want to make sure I get to them all. I don't want anything forgotten. So we're going to start out with one that's been pretty dear to my heart anyways. A friend of mine, Joseph Gray. He's been struggling. Boy, that boy has struggled. I don't know for how long now. But he's got cancer, he's got problems with his hip, problems with his bones, he's been on medication. This past week, Joseph had a bit of a fainting spell somewhat, and he's got to get the proper care he needs. He knows that he's been dealing with the VA, and he's been dealing with private doctors, and then his wife passed away in the midst of all of this. His wife was a solid rock for him. I mean, God is his foundation, there's no doubt. But his wife was by his side to us, and then she just passed a couple weeks back now. So please pray for Joseph.
Pinsetta's moving this week, I think it is, or very soon if she hasn't already. She's down in Bridgeport, Connecticut. She's moving. She's going to be moving to a new home. She's happy and excited about that. So please pray that everything will go well with Pinsetta and her children, that the move will go fine. Ruth Batten's brother, her niece rather, I'm sorry, her niece has died. I'm not sure how that was happened. What I saw was she was killed last Friday, not this Friday past, the one before, and she was buried. So pray for the Batten's family. Robert Micklett has to have quadruple bypass. He may have had it. For all I know, he went in the hospital this past week in Hartford, Connecticut. He went in for a heart attack, and they found out he needs quadruple bypass. So please make sure you put Robert on your list as well. Marcia Kissinger, a lot of pain. Marcia's suffered from cancer. She's been through, I don't know how many different things. The cancer came back, then disappeared again. So she's going through a lot of pain. Pray for Barbara Norman, her husband, having a heart problem. And the flu now. And her grandson, who went through some tough times, got in trouble with the law. But please pray for him. He needs all the guidance and strength, and he needs to know the Lord. Pray for Thomas Golden. He's a friend of mine. He's getting up in his years. He fell and had to be picked up off the floor. And he needs round-the-clock care. There's no doubt. His wife and him just can't do it on their own any longer. So pray that they find somehow hospice to come in and help and take care of all that for him so that Thomas can stay at home with his wife. And when the time comes, please give the wife and Tom enough strength to be able to take care of him and get him in the right facility where he needs to go. Prayers for Dorothy Mayer. CAT scan. He had a CAT scan this week, or CT scan, whatever you want to call it. And now she needs to go see a vascular doctor. She's got some blockage going on, so please pray for Dorothy. She needs God's help in her cigarette addiction. She's got to quit smoking. She knows it. She's been using the patch, but it's just not enough. It's a hard thing to deal with when you have an addiction. And folks don't really look at cigarettes as an addiction, but it's just as much of an addiction as any other drug, any other alcohol, or any other foreign incidents going into the body. It's hard to get away from those things. Here's one that was my own this past, it's been about a week, a little more than a week. Captured the mother cat and her kittens from under the barn. Hours and hours spent trying to catch them. Getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, going out there by 4 in the morning to recheck the trap, set the trap, check the game camera, all that stuff. Only for the last one, the little boy, who kept eluding me for like 3 days till I finally found a different kind of trap and was able to catch that little guy. And he's now back with his little brother and his sister, and the mother's with another foster care person being cared for right now. But pray that all of them will be happy and healthy, and life will be good for them. Praise the Lord. A friend has been clean and sober now for 8 years. I won't give you the name because I don't think it matters. But she's been clean and sober for 8 years, 3 years off pain meds, and 5 days this week. 5 days without methadone at all. Now that's what you call being able to make it and trusting God. That's a difficult thing. I've been clean and sober for 30 years. I've had my share of slips. I've had my share of going backwards. But God is so good that he carried me through, and he'll do that for anyone who asks and is faithful and just to keep trusting him no matter what. No matter how much your addiction gets to you, no matter how much, whatever it is, I don't care if it's alcohol, drugs, sex addiction, honestly, folks, cigarettes, coffee, whatever, food, you name it. If it's something you know that you're addicted to that you just would like to break the habit, then you can ask God at any point. And he's great. He is so gracious and so merciful that he knows what's right for you, that he'll see you through it if that's what you really want. He can make you healthy and happy again. He can heal you from all your anxiety, your depression, all your despair. All you have to do is reach out and be asking. That's the goodness of God right there in itself. Father, we ask you for all these prayers. We ask you to put your hand on the hearts and on the minds and on the souls of all the people that I just mentioned. And Father, give them the strength to get through whatever struggles they're going through, whatever problems they're facing. Because we know that you're a great God, and we want to show you the gratitude that you deserve by helping us and giving us the strength to do that and get through these problems and all of these troubles, no matter what they are. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to share the word this morning, for being able to share these prayers. And we ask that you help us and control us and keep us on the right track. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now, I didn't do it intentionally, but I forgot to mention Dan Charette. We need to continue to pray for him because Dan was in a car accident over a week ago, and we prayed for him last week. And all I can ask is that we continue to pray for Dan Charette, that he's healing and he's on the mend. So let's not forget Dan as well. Folks, the message today, I told you, is one of thanks. And I think you'll understand this as I can get through it. Let me see. I mixed them around a little bit. I had some more on my pages here. I want to make sure I get them right. Where did it go? There we go. I got it now. The message, excuse me. Where'd that come from? Anyhow, the message is on Thanksgiving, and we really need to be able to see it for what it is, folks. In Thessalonians 5:18, we have a message there. And look at this, folks. Here's what I was thinking about. I wrote some things. I'm going to read this to you. We'll get right into the message. But put your finger on 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Many are going to be celebrating with family or friends this Thanksgiving Day. That's only a few days away, folks. We got 4 days. Some will be running around trying to get the things together for the big meal. They'll be getting ready to watch the football game or whatever they do on Thanksgiving Day. I'm not a sports fan. I don't watch the stuff. But others will. Then you'll have the ones that are planning a big Black Friday stuff, the shopping spree the following day. They'll be running out spending money. They'll be buying things. They'll be doing things. They'll be buying gifts and Christmas gifts for their families and their friends and whoever. They'll be spending money on that. Those will be all their thoughts. They're going to crowd their mind with the Thanksgiving meal, the Thanksgiving day. They'll be sitting there doing things with one another as a family. And believe me, that's a great thing. But I got to ask you, folks, and this is an honest-to-goodness question, to be honest with you. Interesting enough, how many of you are really going to be thinking about your eternal security and how thankful God is to give you that he gave his only son to die on the cross for every one of your filthy, rotten sins that you've committed from your birth till now? I know for me, I'm a rotten, disgusting sinner. I have been all my life. God has provided for me. He's brought me out of that darkness. He's brought me into the light. He's taught me the scriptures. He's shown me things I never would have seen because I was too ignorant, too stupid, and refused to see him. I even was at one point so bad that I rejected God altogether. Couldn't stand him, didn't want to hear from him. And I know in some of you, in your hearts, you say the same thing. But you know, God knew from the day I was conceived, before I was even conceived in my mother's womb, he knew who I was, what he wanted me to be, and where I'm going to be right now today, every day from this day forward. He knew everything about me. He knows everything about you. And he wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to have eternal life. He doesn't want you going to hell. He doesn't want you dying in the grave. He doesn't want you just thrown in the ground like some of you believe, or as some others who don't even believe in that, they believe that they're going to be retransformed. They're going to be something else. They're going to come back as something else. Well, I got news for you. You do come back, but where you're coming back is going to be where you end up. And I got news for you. You only go one of two places, and that's what the Bible says. The Bible is God's word, and as Christians, I hope and pray that we can agree that what's important is not how much food we have on the table or the shopping we're going to do or how many gifts we can buy, but on how thankful we are for Jesus and his death on the cross, because we're all sinners and do not deserve to be forgiven. But because Jesus loves us and died for us, we can be forgiven. We sure can. We can have all of our sins taken away, no matter what they were, and we can live a more righteous life if we're willing to accept Jesus Christ and then go from there and read our Bible and learn how to live righteously and not like the world. The eternal thought that I'm talking about here should be to look towards the salvation of going to heaven, folks. That's your eternity. You're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. Those are your choices. God don't make that choice for you. We got a whole world out there saying that God wouldn't do this, God wouldn't do that. God's a loving God. God wouldn't judge me. God won't this, God won't that. You don't know what God will do. I can tell you that right now, because the only one knows is God. And he says you either get on the right path, walk the right way, and be grateful and thankful for all that he does for you, or guess what? When the day comes and you're standing there and you say, but Lord, I've done all this, he's going to say, I don't know you. Get away from me. And if you don't believe me, go look it up in the Bible. It says so. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Be thankful in everything. It's not just the good things. It's to give thanks in everything. In the good things, in the bad things, in the things that are different. Why? Because we should be grateful for the lessons that we are taught, for our suffering, for our losses, be it whether it's a life or loss of property or possessions, for the wrong done against us, and for the disrespect that people show us. Because through all of that, we can see that it's not God that does those things, that it's somebody else and something else, and we can still love the sinner and hate their sin. We don't do it for ourselves. We do it because it gives glory to God for our suffering. For our suffering, we give glory to God. And we suffer for him because Jesus suffered for us. If it means that we can't do the things we want to do in our flesh, ain't that too bad? We should be suffering that want and saying, so what? I'm doing the right thing because God asked me to. We should be enjoying our lives, praising God always in all things. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 20. Chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we should be thanking God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, just like the prayers earlier when I said, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to end our prayers with, in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask all this, and we thank our God in the name of Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus, there is no purpose for us, folks. For those that don't believe, that's why they don't believe. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. They have no purpose. They have no end goal. Speaking of end goal, when the football game comes this season, this coming Thanksgiving, what's the end goal? For one team or the other to win, right? Well, guess what? In the football game of God, God wins. What team are you going to be on? What side of that goal do you want to be on? What side of the playing field are you going to be the one that's playing, the right side or the wrong side? And guess what? Guess where the loser is? He's in hell. That's Satan. Because God binds him and keeps him there. And he's going to. And anybody that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, that's where you're going. Nehemiah 11, 17, verse A. 11, 17, part A of that verse, which is the beginning part. It says, "And Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, was the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer." See, what they're saying is the thanksgiving began with a prayer. And our thanksgiving to God should be with prayer. We shouldn't just go about our day going, "Thank you, God, la, 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 thank you for giving me this." No. It should be, "Lord, I'm having a hard time with all these things. Lord, I'm going to have an anxiety attack. Lord, I'm depressed. Lord, I don't feel well. Lord, I can't this. I just don't understand." And pray for those things, because there comes a time when you can say, "Thank you, God, for answering my prayers. Thank you for pointing out and showing me the light in a world of darkness so that I can finally change to be what you want from me, Lord, and not what I'm trying to do for myself." Because the only thing with myself is the devil himself convincing you, just like he did with Eve when Eve decided to eat the fruit. He lied to her and he convinced her, "You can do this, you can have all knowledge, you don't need God to tell you nothing, because that tree has all knowledge." And guess what? He lied to her and she found out later the truth. And then was ashamed of herself when she finally saw the light. Just like all of us, we're ashamed of our lives when we realize what sinful people we are, how wrong we really are. We should break down and cry for how disrespectful we are towards God. Start praying, folks. Start praying now, and then you can be thanking the Lord later for all that he provides for you. Start your Thanksgiving dinner this year with a prayer for your loved ones, for Jesus Christ, for those that are sick, for those that are in dire need. Look at the folks in California right now. This Thanksgiving, what do they got to be thankful for? A fire that wiped out everything they owned in that place called Paradise? What a name, huh? Paradise. Paradise burned up. There's nothing left to it. Everything is gone. All I can hope for is that the people that are going through that have found a way to see God through this. It's a shame that they have to go without what they got down there. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. But I can tell you this, if I were, I'd still be on my knees praising God for letting me survive, letting me still have a chance to share his gospel. And for the ones that died, I would hope that they were saved. I hope they know the Lord. And if they didn't, I hope God said when the time came that he protected them, put a hedge of protection around them and drew them up, drew their spirits up, because they didn't know what was happening. Now, many of them don't deserve to go to heaven, as all of us, none of us deserve to go to heaven. But because of Jesus' death on the cross, for those of us that are believers, we're going to heaven. Those that reject Christ and refuse him and think that they can do this on their own go nowhere but straight into hell. Now, you got to know that by reading the scriptures. And I'm thankful for all those that are listening that I had the opportunity to share that with you. You now have that choice. You now have the mystery of God. You now have the wisdom given to you to make that choice with your own free will, with your own free mind that God gave you. God's not going to send you to hell. You're going to send yourself there by your own rejection of Christ, by not doing what he asked. 2 Corinthians 4:15, all things are for your sakes. That means everything that's done to you is for you, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many redound, it says, to the glory of God. And what does redound mean? Means to contribute greatly to. Through the thanksgiving of many, to contribute to the glory of God. That means that everything that happens to us, as it says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many to contribute to the glory of God. That's why when you think about it, folks, look how thankful you should be for all that you have, all that you, even if you don't have, you should be thankful. There's more to it than what you see. God knows all, he sees all, and he knows sometimes you're going to go without because it's better for you to not have than it is to have sometimes. It strengthens you. It makes you look to him. It makes you realize without God you cannot do it. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says this, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness which causes through us thanksgiving to God. That means bringing us closer. That means giving us the strength to be glorified in him. 1 Peter 4:11 says this, 11 through 16. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do as of the ability which God gives him or her. In this case, as a minister, it should always be a man because the Bible says so, not because man says so, not because women want to stand at the pulpit, but God says that men are supposed to be the ones that preach the gospel. And I think that's because God's the head of everything. Jesus was next in line, and they were both men, and men are supposed to be in the pulpit. It's a figure that God set up, and why he did it is not your business to question or to decide differently. If any man minister, let him do as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see that? We should be giving thanks, and we should be giving praise, and we should be glorifying Jesus Christ and praising him forever. In all things, verse 12, beloved, think not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, which means all the things that we go through, which is to what? Try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. This is supposed to be, folks. It says that in verse 12 of 1 Peter 4. Verse 13 says this, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. You see, Christ suffered everything that we suffered. There's nothing that we suffer that Christ didn't go through. He went through it all for us. Verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. You see, even the Bible says they're going to sit there and make comments about you. They're going to say things about Christianity. They're going to do things against you. But guess what? On their part, he is evil spoken of. On their part, Jesus is evil spoken of. On your part, he's glorified. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer. Evil, you got to understand, folks, go read your Bible what evil is. Or as a busybody in other men's matters. In other words, gossipers putting your mouth out there talking about things that have nothing to do with you, but have to do with everybody else and everything else in this world. If you're not talking about Christ, you're not living for Christ, you're not sharing your own business, then you're sticking your nose in somebody else's, meddling where it doesn't belong. Verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf, or on this behalf. We all have much to be thankful for. If we are believers, Christ died for us. That should be enough. To be enriched means to improve or enhance the quality or value. And do you want to enrich your life with Christ, or do you want to sit there and think that you got it in control? Oh, there's many a churches teach all kinds of things out there. Many a churches right now, false teachers, false preachers, false ministers, false liars. We all see it in the news. And people right now are madder than heck. They are so mad at the churches. They're so upset with the way things are done at the churches because they're wrong, yet they attend them, and then they call them great churches. Oh, I go to this great church. They don't bother to hold me accountable to nothing. They allow everybody in. They accept everything. They forget what accountability is. They forget what moral character is. They forget what it means to be a sinner. Let's just whitewash it all and say, Jesus loved everybody. That's not always true, folks, and you better read your Bible and find it. I'm telling you, I'm not going down that because it's a different message. We're about being thankful for what God has done and how he changes the sinner's life. Just like he changes mine, he'll change yours, and he'll change anybody you pray for. Trust me when I tell you. I have one more song for you, folks, because the end of the message is here. And I want to play this one. It's just a little talk with Jesus. You have a little conversation with Jesus, and God, I bless your soul. When the time comes that you do, he'll enrich your life. He'll glorify you. He'll bring you out of darkness. All you need to do is ask. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Have a great day. And I'll be back next week. Come find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, over on Facebook. This will be the end of the message for the day. God bless you. And please, remember during your times of thankfulness how great you have it. And if you can help others, please go do so. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to do that. God bless you. Have a great day. Thank you, folks. It's been a blessing. Have a great Sunday, and happy Thanksgiving to you all. We'll talk to you next Sunday.